This is the son of PCJ.
Mr. Bond, there is no leaving us now. You tied to the chair with those headphones will make you listen to this program, and you will die a horrible death.
Yes, but I see you've put my favorite program on, Media Network Plus, so ha 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 to you.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the one-hour monthly program of Media Network Plus. Coming up today, Victor Gunatelica will be joining us to talk about the jamming taking place against the broadcast in English from the BBC World Service, Voice of America, and Radio Australia.
A few months ago, Radio Netherlands ceased all shortwave transmissions except for a few to Cuba. Their Bonaire station has closed, and for some time it looked as if their Madagascar relay would also be shut down. But the station has now been taken over by its employees and will continue as a private company.
We're also going to be talking about radiograms. Yes, a radiogram, one of the oldest forms of electronic message sending. The Voice of America has been doing some tests with this, and we're going to tell you about our own PCJ radiogram test, which will be taking place in a couple of days from now.
Then the ins and outs of shopping for an old or new receiver online. We have this and more, so stay tuned.
This is Media Network Plus. And coming up very soon, Paulette will be giving us a media tour of Leavenworth.
Oh, Keith. First, here's Keith with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
The Voice of Russia and its old-time partner, China Radio International, has signed an agreement on media space sharing that will become a new milestone in the Russian-Chinese relationship. Under the accord, the Voice of Russia will air Russian-language programs from its Chinese colleagues devoted to the Year of Russian Tourism in China, while China Radio International will launch similar projects on Russia's culture and history for CRI's Chinese listeners. A few months ago, we reported on a radio station owner in Cambodia who was arrested and sent to jail on charges that human rights supporters called politically motivated. Well, a court in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, has overturned his conviction, and he has been released. For more, we have this report from Radio Free Asia.
Hundreds of jubilant supporters cheered Mom Sanando after his release from Phnom Penh's Prayasar prison. The Cambodian activist and independent radio station owner had been sentenced to 20 years behind bars for alleged involvement in a secession plot. But on Thursday, an appeals court overturned his conviction and ordered him released. Mom Sanando thanked the crowds for their support. He said when he meets with villagers, he feels like he is in paradise. The case of the 71-year-old activist has attracted intense international scrutiny. U.S. President Barack Obama was one of several world leaders who called for his release. He was freed in the run-up to national elections in Cambodia, scheduled for July.
Mom Sanando's release doesn't provide much justice. His arrest was political and has nothing to do with legal issues. So his release is not a surprise.
Following his release, Mom Sanando told RFA's Khmer service that he plans to avoid politics. But he said he will educate the people about their rights, the law, and democracy, so that Cambodian voters will be better informed.
Deutsche Welle has named Peter Lindbergh as its new director general. The chairman of the broadcasting board, Valentin Schmidt, announced the decision after a meeting of the supervisory body that was held on March 15th in Berlin. The current director, Eric Bitterman, whose term will officially end September 30th, 2013, has been in charge of Germany's international broadcasting voice since 2001. During his time, he significantly shaped DW's strategic realignment. And that was a look at some of the headlines happening in the world of media. If you want more information on these and other stories, check out the web blog from Kim Andrew Elliott. You can find a link for them at our own website, www.pcjmedia.com, at the bottom of the page. I'm Keith Perron.
And you're listening to the monthly one-hour edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. Last year, after Radio Netherlands Worldwide suffered a massive budget cut, they ceased all shortwave transmission except for a token broadcast to Cuba. They laid off hundreds of staff and closed their relay station on the Caribbean island of Bonaire. Their relay on Madagascar, an island on the east coast of Africa, was also in doubt. That was until the staff of the station decided to turn it into a privately owned station. So the relay will continue for a good number of years with the same staff. Madagascar is used by a number of international broadcasters. Voice of America, BBC, and RFI are just a few. Our good friend Jeff White caught up with Flora Ravalo-Jaona, the manager of the station, and she told him what the future is.
Yeah, I've been working for Radio Netherlands since 1998.
Are you an engineer?
No, I have more administrative and management background.
Are you originally from Madagascar?
Yes, okay. From Madagascar, okay. And I've done all of my study in Madagascar.
Now, the various relay transmissions that are currently taking place from the Madagascar station, will they continue then just pretty much as before when it was Radio Netherlands?
Yes, actually, that was a good thing, because since some time, a few years ago already, RNW has decreased its transmission from Madagascar, and so we already get a kind of customer's basis, which we contact personally and which has already shown their interest to continue their broadcast via Madagascar, which at least could get a good start for the new company. Indeed, for the time being, we are not really seeking for profits, but more for employment and also to continue on shortwave, because we are still convinced that shortwave is still important for Africa.
Where can you cover from the station with your equipment and antennas? Basically, which target areas can you reach?
Yeah, we have as first hope, we have Africa, but we can reach also part of Asia and India as well as second hope. So, and with our antenna, we've done this already for some of our customers. But also not to forget that we have some antennas which is available for Madagascar, for local tropical band as well.
Who are some of the stations that are broadcasting now via Madagascar?
We have NHK, we have the Adventist World Radio, so we have programs from Vatican Radio, from IBB, and some other from Free Press Unlimited, this Dutch and funded organization as well. So quite a variety of customers.
All right, so now tell me a little bit about, I mean, for people who aren't perhaps aware, Madagascar is located off the southeastern coast of Africa. You were telling me it used to be actually a French colony, huh?
Yeah, indeed, sometimes people do not really know that this is this island that you can see in the southern part of Africa, and sometimes people must know Mauritius, and then, oh, okay, this island close to Mauritius and Reunion, but it's a nice island and it's a nice place to go, so it's a big island and a very interesting culture as well.
So M Globe then is a commercial initiative?
Yes, it's a commercial initiative, and it was really helped by our headquarters, Radio Netherlands in Hilversum, because, you know, there are a lot of people from our headquarters who are now assisting us in setting up this new company clients' contacts, which is really important because indeed before it was always done by our headquarters in Hilversum, and only starting last year when we know all of this huge budget cut, we started the headquarters started to help us assist us in making this company more visible, that it's a Malagasy company, and we really appreciate and people expertise, time and finance also not to forget is taking up this company.
So now it's really an African station run by Africa.
Yeah, it's Malagasy station run by Malagasy people, and not to forget these were always the case. These technical people we have now right now were the same which were working for Radio Netherlands before, but indeed we were doing the technical side of the transmission, but we have the experiences to run it.
As you know, there have been some decreases in shortwave transmissions in other parts of the world, but Africa remains an area where shortwave is very popular, no?
Yeah, I think this, despite internet or FM station, Africa is still a point where shortwave is very important because there are still a lot of people in the countryside which could be accessed only by this means of communication, I mean with shortwave. And even if you just speak about Madagascar, it's amazing how people are listening to this transmission we are doing for some broadcasters, and these are also a way to reach people which have less information depending on, you know, government in Africa. I'm not doing politicals, but sometimes it happens that people could not access to information and internet. In that case, this could be really easily, it's not accessible to everybody in Africa, and it could be expensive means of communications as well. So yeah, indeed, shortwave is expensive for the broadcaster, but for the people who are listening to it, it's about cheapest way to get information at any places where they are.
And if you go into stores in Madagascar, and particularly, I suppose, that sell electronic equipment, is it easy to find a shortwave receiver?
Yeah, easy and cheap. Uh-huh. So it's easy, because even the national radio in Madagascar, they are still doing transmission on midwave, but also on shortwave as well. We have a lot of countryside where there is not real other means of information than shortwave. And during the last few years, we get a kind of explosion of FM stations, but these are more for the city, not for people in the countryside. Yeah.
Will M-Globe actually produce any of its own programs broadcast by the station?
No, it's not in our development way and vision of seeing the station. Our vision is more on developing local businesses as well, providing engineering, because we have acquired this experience in technology, which is really actually difficult to find in the islands. So we are more focusing on this part of the business than doing our own, producing our own programs, all these kinds. And we've get a lot of offer on this already, because, you know, telecommunications is a booming business in Madagascar, and also we hope we could oriented our business on this part. With on the other side, shortwave also, which is a good start for our business as well.
So you see a bright future then for M-Globe?
Yeah, I've seen it, and that's why I'm standing here.
That was Flora Ravalo-Jaona speaking with Jeff White.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399.
1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio on 9955 kilohertz. Last month, on the weekly edition of the program, we talked about some very strange noises that are affecting broadcasts from the BBC World Service, Voice of America, and Radio Australia. That was jamming noise. Now, it's not new for broadcasters like the BBC World Service, Voice of America, Radio Free Asia, and some others to have their broadcasts jammed. But what is unusual is to have their broadcast in English being jammed. Now, even during the Cold War, the Soviet Union never jammed the English broadcast from the BBC or Voice of America. But this jamming noise started back late last year, and really took off the beginning of February. As of the date that we're recording this program, certain BBC frequencies and VOA frequencies are still being affected. To find out more, we contacted our good friend Victor Gunatelica in Sri Lanka.
We started noticing somewhere late December, but not on a particular station, but the strange sounds suddenly started popping up on the high frequencies. So it would move. They were as if somebody was testing, but we thought, okay, it's some strange noise, something domestic, something in the home or whatever, because it was not on a regular frequency. But as you say, I really noticed on the 14th, exactly on the 14th of February, the day the State of the Union message was being transmitted by the BBC on 15310. By the way, BOA did not carry it. They closed down at 200 hours UTC, and I was on BBC 15310, and I did have quite a tough time right through, not like before, where it would keep moving up and down the band. So I felt that there was something deliberate going on. But on a one-off, you can't decide on that. Well, quite a few of us who are in the monitoring business have been watching things, checking out and all that, and finally, it has now been definitely established that it's deliberate jamming. And I've been taking some measurements from my location here in Colombo with my log periodic beam antenna and taking propagation as well. I can put it down to China. Somewhere in China, I wouldn't say pinpoint exactly, but it's definitely China. Another candidate that people have been floating around suggesting would be Iran. But definitely I can put my money that it's not in Iran, taking the propagation and the frequency use. So 14th February is the day that I really noticed the severity of jamming.
And what's interesting, Victor, and we were talking about this earlier, is the jamming of frequencies is very selective. Now, for example, in the morning hours, morning here in Asia and Southeast Asia, the Voice of America have a number of English transmissions. There are those in special English. Those are not affected at all. The programs that, for me, when I tried to listen today that were affected were the general regular program from the VOA. The special English programs were fine.
Well, it appears at this time, it appears that there is very selective jamming, and they are going for the news broadcasts and the current affairs programs, not so much, as you say, the special English broadcasts. So it appears to be a very selective jamming at this stage. And as you rightly put it, our observations have been that they are probably the frequencies that are best heard within China. And you mentioned an interesting point that during the height of the Cold War, even, for instance, the Soviet Union never jammed the English broadcast. Well, Keith, we are talking about almost 25 years after the peak of that. And I was just going through some figures. And there are 750 million new English speakers or people who are trying to learn English. So today's English is more or less a very important language with the internet. interactive computers, and I think China probably has realized the importance of English getting through to their people. So that may be just an idea.
Well, you know, it is highly unusual. And as I posted on Facebook, and we were also just talking about this a moment ago, I said, you know, if I was, let's say, at the Broadcasting Board of Governors, or in the UK at the Foreign Office, and I started seeing these reports that they're jamming programs in English, my thinking would be, well, they're jamming English on shortwave? That's unusual. Well, maybe there are people listening.
Yeah, definitely there are people listening, Keith. There's no doubt about it. Because, I mean, what's my alternative? Local placements? Hardly any. And the only other alternative would be streaming. When I have an internet connection for which I pay quite a pricey amount, and even the download speed is so weak, we are so slow, I can tell you, I rarely go onto the internet streaming to listen to something unless I have missed something very important, which I try to get downloaded from archives. So people are listening. One reason why people might think that they are not listening is that some of the international broadcasters, notably in the West, they have been cutting down on transmitters. Even now, I know, for instance, the Voice of America has 500 kilowatt transmitters, but they are running at 250 kilowatts. So now I think it's the time, if you want to beat the jammer, at least you have to increase your signal, because that's what I have experienced here. With a small portable radio, I get a real hard time trying to beat the jammer. But when I use an external antenna, well, the jammer to signal noise level, strength level is favoring me to receive my signal. So we have to meet this jamming situation. I don't know whether the West is prepared to spend that much money, but there are thousands and millions of listeners all over the world who would like to have a better signal to beat the jamming as such.
Now, one of the things that used to be done during the Cold War, the 70s and 80s, in particular to the Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, was that when the Soviets would jam, the VOA and Radio Free Europe would just turn around and put more frequencies on the air. Do you see that happening now? Do you see the BBC and the VOA, for example, adding more frequencies on the air?
Well, the decision is theirs. If they want to get people to listen, there's a new challenge. You have to come up with something. Use frequencies in such a way that propagationally it's not possible to jam it effectively, and also increase the number of transmitters available to the listener. So there's no other way, alternative way. Increase your signal and give more options. We have noticed that the Chinese appear at this moment to be using 3 or 4 transmitters. That's all they seem to be using at the moment at peak hours. So if the Western broadcasters can increase the frequencies, the transmitters that they are dedicating to shortwave broadcasting, I think we can get through this problem. Whether they'll do it or not, I don't know, Keith.
Now, Radio Australia's Chinese service and some of their hours in English have also been affected, and I can hear it in this part of East Asia. And I heard there are unconfirmed reports that even some or one frequency from All India Radio is having the same interference. Can you confirm that, or was this just talk and gossip?
Oh, no, I haven't monitored it myself, but I have very reliable information from one of the top monitors in the region that 2 of All India Radio's transmissions have been jammed, especially when there isn't a heavy concentration of VOA and BBC. So as I said again, it appears at this time that only about 3 or 4 transmitters are being dedicated to the jamming effort. It might expand, I don't know, but at the moment, All India Radio is definitely being jammed on 2 frequencies at a time when it appears that they have the jammers have the transmitters available.
That was Media Network Plus's Victor Gunatelica, all the way in Colombo, Sri Lanka. ¶¶ Now we're going to talk about radiograms. Paulette, do you know what a radiogram is?
You know what? Not really.
Well, a radiogram is one of the oldest forms of sending an instant message. This is before the days of SMS and email. I mean, going back to the 1920s, you can send a message clear way across the world in a matter of seconds.
Now, we're not talking telegram.
Well, it sort of is, actually. It's almost like a telegram. It's the same, almost the same technology. Now, the Voice of America has been doing some experiments with radiograms. And what's nice about it is you can send, for example, news text and news scripts to the other part of the world where, let's say, certain programs are being interfered with, but the radiogram always seems to get through. To find out a little more, I contacted Kim Andrew Elliott, whose name is certainly no stranger, no strange name to this program, to find out a little bit more about a program that he launched called the VOA Radiogram.
Well, more or less, that's what it was. RCA sent telegrams via radio, and they called them radiograms. And so that was a way of sending messages decades ago. And then the amateur radio community picked it up, and they have their own forms of radiogram. And I thought that was a nice word, so I'm just using it as a name for a new program on The Voice of America.
Now, obviously, this is not a new technology. Now, since it's not a new technology, how good a technology is it? Is it because it's so simple that it is so effective?
Well, it's several versions of a technology. Sending text via radio has been done for decades. The earliest form was radio teletype, and the radio amateurs still use it. They call it RTTY or RTTY. But there have been newer, fancier text modes developed over the years. The radio amateurs really love a mode called PSK31, phase shift keying 31. And then there are other fancier modes like MFSK and MT63 and too many to mention. And so we're going to experiment with those, but this will be the first time that they've been put on top of an amplitude-modulated analog shortwave broadcast transmitter.
And what is the reason for VOA doing this? Because I don't think this has been tested by any other broadcaster yet.
Yes, it is something new. A problem that VOA and other international broadcasters have been having in the past several years is that their websites are blocked in some countries. And also, there are, in addition to dictators, there are natural disasters and man-made disasters that can shut down internet infrastructure. So when that happens, text can be sent over shortwave, so can pictures, images, and it becomes a sort of a substitute for the internet.
I was just about to say that. It sounds like a very primitive version of the internet, but information is only coming one way. You can't send information back.
Not really. Although people in target countries probably can get it on their mobile phones and get information back. The bigger problem is getting information into countries that have determined to block that information or where disasters have shut down the infrastructure. So, yes, it doesn't have the interactivity of the internet, that's for sure.
Now, broadcasters like The Voice of America, BBC World Service, and others, for decades now, I mean, this is not new. This goes back to, you know, more than 60 years. A problem with jamming. I mean, it even continues today. Using a radiogram, isn't jamming just going to block it out?
Well, the one thing about text via shortwave is that that information successfully gets through even when voice is difficult to comprehend. That could be under just normal degradations of shortwave, but it also applies when the noise is intentionally added to the frequency. So we've found that the text modes might be able to slice through jamming in some instances.
Now, you have been running some tests via the mighty KBC and WRMI in the United States, Radio Miami International, that this program is relayed on. What have been the results so far?
Well, very encouraging. Those two stations have kindly granted me, you know, about a minute a week. And so I send short messages on WRMI, sent IDs. And there have been situations where the signals have been just terrible, but I've gotten 100% or maybe 95% or better copy of the text. So very encouraging. In the case of WRMI, it gets jammed by Cuba because it has a few hours of some anti-Castro purchased programming, and manages to overcome the jamming pretty well.
So the purpose behind the test, that is it to find, like you said, to find an alternative means to get information where that you can't use the internet or you can't use shortwave. So, I mean, would the future, let's say, be, I don't know, down the road, let's say if you have a broadcast that's being jammed, to just send that out in text?
Yes. Now, we don't expect that this will make shortwave popular again, and the audience probably won't be huge, but just get a few key users in the target country, and then they can receive the information and pass it on through what is now the intranet, the internal internet of the target country.
Now, you were mentioning mobile phones. Is it possible you mentioned to me earlier mobile phones. Is it possible to also use a phone app?
Yes, it is possible to do that. In fact, already there are some mobile applications for amateur radio modes. There's one for the Android platform that decodes MT63, and there's one for the Apple platforms that decodes the popular PSK31 mode. In fact, it encodes and decodes both because they're used in the amateur radio community. One of the purposes of the VOA Radiogram program is, in addition to finding out which mode works best on shortwave broadcast, is to encourage people to develop applications for both PCs and mobile devices.
You know, one of the things, Kim, that I'm thinking about right now, I mean, in certain countries, if we take, let's say, North Korea, that's been in the news lately, mobile phones are really taking off in North Korea. This can be a way, for example, if somebody can get the information into their phone, and like you just said, and then text it to other people, that's incredible.
Well, remember, you have to have a shortwave radio. You got to start with that, and then you have to patch the audio from the shortwave radio into the PC or the mobile phone, and then you have to have the right software. So there are several pieces that have to come together. Might be difficult to get all those pieces together in North Korea.
Kim Andrew Elliott from the Voice of America talking about the program VOA Radiogram. Now, PCJ is going to be conducting its own radiogram test. So here's some information about that.
Just noise.
Noise, you say? Noise, you say? And you did say that. Well, actually,
yeah.
That was a radiogram in itself talking about the test.
Yeah, but Keith, it sounds like jamming.
It sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be doing our own radiogram, which is going to be on March 31st, 2013. On March 31st, 2013, the time will be 0:27, so 2:27 UTC. The frequency will be 9955 kilohertz. That's 9955 kilohertz. And all you need to do is to download via the internet the right software to decode that message. The setting that we're going to be using is MFSK32. That's MFSK32. Now, you need some software to download it, and the nice thing, of course, is that it's free, and it is relatively easy to use. If you're not familiar with it, you need Fiji, Fiji Message, and Fiji Amp, and you can download them all at www.w1hkj.com. That's www.whiskey1hoteljuliet.com. And if you didn't have time to write that down, just go to our own website, pcjmedia.com, and you will find a link for them on the right menu, and it's called PCJ Radiogram Test, March 31st, 2013, and everything you need to know is there. Now, Paulette, we have time for a little bit of music, and I thought we'd play a short little song from Sarah Vaughan with Quincy Jones conducting for kind of a radio advertising that she did many years ago. It's called Who Listens to Radio?
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Sarah Vaughan and the Quincy Jones Orchestra. And who listens to radio? Wasn't that fun, Paulette?
That was amazing. Just great. Now, speaking of amazing, Keith, we've had quite a few listeners writing in asking for advice about how to buy things like radio receivers online.
Yes, that's correct. Now, I have to be honest, I love online shopping. It is one of my favorite, I can call it a hobby almost.
Well, then for the benefit of listeners who may also have similar questions, but just didn't ask for whatever reason, why don't you answer them now?
Okay. Well, first of all, Paulette, you've obviously heard of eBay, right?
Yeah. Is that now, your favorite place to shop?
It is one of my favorite places. And I'll be honest, I use eBay 4, sometimes 5 times a month, even more sometimes, depending on what I'm looking for or even how I feel. For example, I love shopping online if the weather's really lousy outside and I don't have to go out. You know, everything's at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. Now, eBay is the kind of store, if you're not familiar with it, you can buy anything you want. You can buy anything from a bobby pin all the way to an airplane.
Wow. That's quite a selection.
Exactly. I mean, you name it, it's probably there. Even things that you think that are, no, they can't, they're not going to sell it on eBay. You're wrong. It's definitely going to be there. Now, eBay is one of the best places, I personally think, to buy any type of radio equipment, new and even older equipment and radio parts. But a lot of people have complained that, you know, they bought something on eBay and it was not what they purchased, or it wasn't what they thought the description was. Now, this boils down to number one. First, reading the fine print.
Hmm.
Now, it's like, for example, you, Paulette. I mean, if you were to go out and buy something, even at a store, you know, most people would just read the fine print. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And I'll give you an example. A while ago, somebody who's a listener to this program posted on the PCJ Facebook page that they bought a radio off eBay, but when they received it, it was only the box. There was nothing inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, it's true that there are some scammers on eBay, and this goes back to even the days when eBay first started. And things, of course, are a lot better now. But what this person didn't do was read the fine print. The sale of the item that they had, that this person had on their eBay page, was actually just for the box. It says so right at the bottom.
Hmm.
There is no radio in this box. It is just the box.
Why would somebody want to sell just a box?
Well, there are a lot of collectors out there who collect the strangest thing. They collect vintage radio boxes, vintage envelopes, vintage paper, vintage user manuals. So there is a market out there. And on eBay, you will find, for example, vintage packaging from a radio from like 40, 30 years ago. I mean, okay, personally, I don't know why anybody would want to buy it, but there are people out there who do collect this kind of thing.
Interesting. Well, that's good to know, Keith, because I'm bad at reading fine print myself. I have to admit that. But, you know, something like a just a box, I would never think that anybody would want to sell it or would want to buy it. But as you pointed out, just as you started, that there's everything you could possibly imagine on eBay. So I guess it's good to know, good to get a heads up to make sure that whatever you buy, before you buy it, read any fine print that's available to read.
Right. And, you know, the other thing, of course, that's very important to do is to do research. Mm-hmm. Now, the radio that this person thought that they were ordering retails for around $250, $300. Mm-hmm. If you buy it used, it's maybe around $80 or $100. The box itself that this person was selling was $19.99. I'm sorry, but You also have to use a little bit of common sense here. If you think you're getting a deal that's too good to be true, well, it probably is. Nobody would, unless the person was completely mindless and had a lobotomy, nobody would even resell that radio used for $19.99. And it clearly states in the ad, this is for the box only, right at the bottom underneath the picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you said, it's important to read the fine print. Although, to be fair, there are things like garage sales where people do expect to get really good bargains. But you're right. When it comes to something like eBay, it's a lot more sophisticated. It's not an online garage sale as it was in the early days. So people are more savvy, and the prices, they have kind of balanced out. So you'll get competitive pricing, but you won't get bargain basement or garage sale value anymore on eBay.
Ah, that's what you think, but if you look around, you can.
Ah, well, okay, there you go. As you say, do your research.
Do your research. Now, one of the nice things that I like about eBay, if I, for example, go to ebay.com and do a search for an item, at the bottom of their main page, they have a link, for example, to eBay sites in Canada, countries in Europe, in Asia, Southeast Asia, Latin America, right? Mm-hmm. So if you put something that you're looking for, a particular, let's say a radio tube, and you search for it on their main page, maybe nothing comes up, but then you click on, for example, the eBay page for Germany. Oh, and there it is. You know, and there it is. Now, prices, okay, this is where it comes into an area where it's hard to say. It really is hard to say. And I'll give you an example for an item that I bought almost 2 years ago. There was a Grundig radio that I was looking for. And this is a radio that's about 40 years old. And I'd wanted one for a very long time. And I was searching around, and they were all around like $300, $400 used. And then just by chance, I found one that was $49.
Ah.
Now, what happened was the radio that was being sold for $49 was from a company, and there's many of these companies, and what they do is, let's say somebody passes away, and the person who passes away has a lot of stuff, an agency will take over the estate and auction off all the items. And this was one of the items that was in this person's estate. So this agency, I mean, you know, they want to sell the stuff as quick as possible to make money right away so they can move on to their next project. So basically this radio, I paid $49 plus to Taiwan. I paid an extra $80 for shipping because it came from the United States. And the radio was in absolutely mint condition. Hmm. It had been well taken care of. So you can find these bargains. And the thing, of course, that's important to do if you're looking for any type of radio equipment, either it being just a regular radio, a shortwave radio, a ham transceiver, radio tubes, radio parts, it's always good to click on the there's a little box which tells you about the person that's trying to sell it. And what's nice about this, for example, if you buy something, After you get it, if it's in the condition that's correct and the description is correct and the shipping costs were okay and you everything went as smooth as silk, you can actually go there and leave comments like negative, positive, or neutral. And they rate it by like 100%. If a person has a 100% rating, that means that they're actually a very good seller. Now, right. Of course, not everybody's going to get a 100%. There are some retailers that have eBay shops, and they don't just sell maybe two items a week. They sell hundreds of items a week. So, of course, maybe out of 100, maybe they'll get one that is not didn't arrive on time or was damaged by the international mail, right? Mm-hmm. But if you read through, you'll see maybe in 2 months they had one negative comment. That's actually okay. That person is still an honest retailer. But there are other retailers that in maybe 1 month, they don't sell that many items, but they get maybe 5 or 6 negative comments. So you really also have to look at that as well. But unfortunately, I mean, human nature is such that, you know, we look at the price first and then think, oh, this is a good deal, so I'm just going to go buy it, but without, say, looking at, you know, comments that other people have made.
Always good to do that.
That's right. So if you're looking for radio parts, yes, go to eBay because it's the perfect place for it. And you know, Paulette, one of the other nice things about shopping online is that if you're, let's say, a collector who likes to restore radios, you know, a lot of companies, let's say like RCA, Telefunken, Siemens, and others no longer make radio tubes, especially if you're restoring older radios.
Right.
But the nice thing is, if you go online, eBay, and even other websites, there are, how would I put it, stockpiles of radio tubes everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, there's stockpiles of them because companies like RCA, Telefunken, Siemens and even Philips, they didn't make thousands of radio tubes. They made literally millions. And what happened was when tube radios in the 60s started to be phased out, when the modern transistor became superior and of course smaller and cheaper, you had these companies that had a lot of radio tubes. So what they did is they sold them off to maybe some of their retailers. Now, I'll give you a funny story that happened to me in Hong Kong in 2009. There was a shop in Hong Kong that I'm very familiar with, and the guy was the official Hong Kong distributor for Philips, Telefunken, and Braun Electronics. Now, people are thinking, Braun, well, they only make coffee makers and electric razors and coffee grinders. No, but Braun made televisions, they made stereos, they made extremely good turntables. They made a whole line of electronics, really top of the line. Mm-hmm. So I visited his shop, and he had a going out of business sale because he was in his late 60s and he just wanted to retire. Now, he opened this shop in 1960.
Wow.
Well, I thought I was in heaven because I managed to find it was new in the box, it had never been opened, a Braun shortwave radio called the T1 that was designed by a very famous Braun designer by the name of Dieter Rams, who did a lot of their very famous design of products. And he got this radio new. He had a bunch of them new, and he had one left that was sitting in his stock room for years.
Wow.
For years.
And he also got it.
And I got it, and he had a really nice console called a Braun Cockpit 260, which was a turntable, AM, FM, radio, shortwave, amplifier, all combined into one. It had those very, like, 1960s space-age speakers, early 70s space-age speakers. Brand new, in the box, never been opened and never been used.
Wow.
And as I was going through, I found in one corner, he had not just one box, not two. He had over 40 boxes of radio tubes.
Good heavens.
And I asked him, I said, where did you get all these radio tubes? He says, well, back in the 60s and 70s, when everybody was switching to electronics, people didn't think we would have enough around, so I just bought a lot. and they're all new. And what he's done now, I found out that he's actually still in the retail trade, but now he has an online store to sell off these radio tubes.
Oh.
So there are radio tubes everywhere. If you search on eBay, you search even on other sites, they are everywhere. And there are some that are used. Yes, that's true. But many of them are new. And you're talking about products that are like 40, sometimes 50 years old, new, in the box, never, ever been used. Now, if you're buying radio tubes, I would always suggest to people that depending on what radio tube it is, try to look for a new one. Paulette, I don't know if you remember those old radios and they had the magic eye. Do you remember them, the magic eye?
Magic eye? No, I can't say I do.
The magic eye is something that's on older radios, and it's usually a dark green or a blue. And it's what happens is when you're on the right station, the eye gets brighter. It's like the tune.
Okay.
It's a tuning, the magic eye or the tuning eye. Okay. And a lot of older radios, this is one of the first things that goes. Now, to find these is actually very easy because there's so many of them online. But if you're going to buy these kind of tubes, they're not that expensive for secondhand. But you know what? Just spend the $10 or $15 more to get a new one because there are new ones out there.
Okay.
But read the fine print. I can't stress anymore, read the fine print. There are a lot of honest retailers out there. Yes, there are a lot of people that are going to scam you, but it's very easy to pick out the good retailers from the nasty ones. And if you're looking for a shortwave radio, going online is the best place to go because you will pay a lot cheaper than you would at any electronics chain in North America or Europe or even in Australia.
Well, that's a great heads up for any listeners who are looking to buy radios and radio equipment online.
Well, that's true, Paulette. And I'll tell you this, you know what? If you're looking for like old vintage radios, what's really nice is there are a number of online shops based in Europe. And they have these, you remember these beautiful old wood type radios that people mm-hmm. would have in their living room as a showpiece.
Mm-hmm.
These beautiful Telefunken, Normander, Siemens, Philips radios, Blaupunkt radios. And they restore them to look just like new.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you know what? The prices are not that bad. There was one that I was considering for a while. And then when I finally made up my mind, somebody had bought it. But it was this beautiful Telefunken radio from 1959 that had been restored. All the tubes had been replaced inside, the capacitors, the casing had been cleaned and fixed. Any cracks were removed and repaired. And it was in tip-top mint condition, and the guy was only selling it for like $199.
Oh, nice.
You know, and the other thing that's nice about eBay, if you like to collect very strange and unusual radios. Now, this one I think you're going to find interesting, but you can find these really funny-looking or maybe strange-looking radios that were made in Ukraine and Russia during the 1960s and 70s. And a friend of mine picked up a radio that was called Kiev.
Huh.
A Kiev brand radio. And it looks like something that you'd see in, a space documentary from the Cold War. It is just the oddest looking radio. Whoever did the design must have been drinking too much or smoking something that day because it is just so odd. It doesn't at all look like an Eastern European communist type radio. It is just far out there. That's the only thing I can say.
Well, somebody was having a creative moment, I suppose. Now it's time for propagation. Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from March 30th to April 5th, 2013. The 10.7 centimeter flux starts off at 105 on March 30th, 110 on March 31st and April 1st, April 2nd, 115, and then April 3rd through April 5th, 120. The A index starts out at 8 on March 30th and then stable at 5 from March 31st to April 5th. The KP index starts out at 3 on March 30th, then stable at 2 from March 31st to April 5th. Sunspots 1702 and 03 are passing out of view this week, leaving 1704 and 05 remaining. Solar wind from a coronal hole on the sun's north-central region should have reached Earth between March 29th and 30th. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley. Before we go, I just want to remind you that you can also catch the 30-minute edition, the weekly edition, that is, of this program, Media Network Plus, on the World Radio Network via satellite. The times are Africa, Asia, Pacific, Saturdays at 14 hours UTC, Europe, Sundays at 9 hours UTC, which, by the way, is also carried on Sky Digital in the UK, and then to North America, Sundays at 17:30 UTC. And that program is also carried on Sirius XM. To find out the full schedule or listen to the this program again or the past 30-minute editions that we've done, go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word.
And if you'd like to drop us a line, we've got an email address. It is mnp@pcjmedia.com.
So on behalf of myself, Keith Perron in Taipei, Taiwan.
And me, Paulette McQuarrie in Vancouver, Canada. Bye-bye for now.
73s and 88s to the ladies.
Tender love, oh, broken heart.